Well, hey everyone, it's Nate. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 432 of The Vinyl Guide, and I got a few things to share before we get to our interview with Eric Melvin of NoFX. First off, you may notice, or you may not notice, this episode is coming out a bit early, quite hot on the heels of episode 431 with Pat Finnerty. And the reason it's coming out early is because I've just got a huge weekend. Bunch of shows. I'm driving across the state to see Off in Canberra and driving back to Sydney. I got to meet some folks on Thursday and then seeing Off again on Friday. And then on the weekend, NoFX's final shows here in Sydney. I mean, so much live music is happening and I'm very thankful for it. But I only have so much time and juggling a lot of shit. So that's the reason you're getting this episode a bit early. Second off, just a reminder, everyone, we're getting old. It's not just me, but it's all of us. And especially you. You are getting incredibly old. A lot of us are talking about that. Man, you really need to look after your skin. Our heroes are getting old, too. And this final NoFX tour has really made me realize that all our favorite bands who are touring now, one day will not be touring. And I mean, that's a totally obvious point, but it just became incredibly clear for me, especially as I was talking to Eric Melvin about it. NoFX, a band I really cannot remember a time when they were not touring, has finally decided to call it a day. And they're going out on their own terms, which that's admirable and totally understandable. The road cannot be a comfortable place for someone who's approaching 60. It's rough for me just getting on one international flight, let alone several of them each month. And the fact that NoFX is calling it a day for their touring, at least, is giving me time for reflection and a bit of appreciation for all I have now. Because one day, a lot of this is going to be gone. Our musical heroes will be gone. Our friends and family will get picked off by time, one by one. And even though many things suck today, for many people, one day everything's going to suck way worse. So in that spirit, let's just enjoy the moment. Did I start this episode with a full downer? I'm sorry about that. Look, go see NoFX, go see Off, go see Celine Dion if that's your thing. Go see whatever music you like, bring your best friend, grab a bunch of your good mates, grab your loved ones, stand in the crowd, sing along with the band as absolutely loud as you can, buy the record you want, play them, enjoy them, because one day in the not too distant future, you and everyone you know and love will be dead. Okay, on that note, let's talk to Eric Melvin of NoFX.
Hey, dude.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Hold on. I just need one second. I was just...
Should I get your pants on? That's okay.
Thanks.
I'm interested with NoFX. You guys are still going to be recording, just not touring. Is that how...
That's the plan. Yeah, that's the plan. Mike has wanted to stop touring for a few years now. He just... It's... Not sure what it is. Just... Too much anxiety for him, maybe. He wasn't feeling it anymore. And we tried to keep going and tried to figure out ways to ameliorate his needs, but he was just like, no, you know what? It's coming up on our 40-year anniversary. This would be as good a time as any to just like, here's the whole plan. We're like, okay, let's do this, you know? Last year when we started with the farewell tour, I think a lot of people were kind of confused. What is it we're doing? But then last year was a huge success. A lot of the shows, but there weren't that many. And then everyone was like, okay, we need a show. We need a show. We're like, well, this is it. You know, now so suddenly we're super busy starting from Australia. Then we go to Japan. Then we start US dates. Then we go to Europe for 6 weeks, and then we're back in America and Canada.
Do you know where the final show is going to be?
Yeah, it's LA. October 4th, 5th, and 6th, or 5th, 6th, 7th. And that's it. That's the end. And that's where it's going to end. That's where it started. That's where it's ending, you know, with all the bands that we were new and became friends with in the early days are going to be there to celebrate with us over a 3-day weekend.
Mm-hmm. It must be very, I would imagine it's an emotional victory lap for you guys, you know?
Yeah. It totally is. It totally is. It's a celebration. It's the last year, and we're playing some deep tracks, and we're, you know, playing albums, more material of albums than we had ever played before, and some songs we hadn't played since we recorded them.
Okay.
And so it's like, wow, you know, we need to play Kill Rock Stars. You know, that song just is so great. But it's like at the time after we recorded it, we just had so many songs that were fast and melodic. And, you know, we didn't want to have a whole hour of just fast melodic songs. You got to mix that up. So it kind of like fell by the wayside. But now we're doing a 2-hour set, you know, and we've got more time to play these tracks. It's great. It's been great playing these songs. So fun.
You probably had to go back and learn some of them, I would imagine.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. What was it again? Yeah, right.
NOFX will be continuing recording, just not touring. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan, you know? Yeah, yeah. Still making music.
And yeah. Do you have a backlog of songs you have planned, or is that something spontaneous that comes when you guys are closer to recording?
Well, let's see. You know, I don't know what Mike's got planned, but I know that he's always writing, and he does here and there have a backlog of songs like we'll have recorded for the last record, or we started playing at a rehearsal or something, and he's like, okay, that's cool, you know, remember that, or something that just didn't get used for a while, and he'll be like, remember that one that's like this, and we're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, right, I forgot what happened to that one, you know. So there's backlog, yes. Mike's always writing, he's doing hundreds of things at all times. He loves being busy. You know, he's got his museum, and I know that's keeping him busy and pretty fun for him. So,
when you look at the NOFX catalog, what is the album or the song that you're most proud of?
Oh, The Decline. Yeah. I'd say probably. Other ones for other reasons, though, you know, like the S&M Airlines record, which is way back, was a huge step for us in production and performance. And White Trash Tubes and The Bean similarly, but in, you know, another advancement for us in production quality and performance. And but The Decline was like a real accomplishment, you know, to put that whole thing together, and just came out amazing, I think, and still to this day.
Yeah,
probably just The Decline.
That's such a unique project. What was the discussion like going into The Decline? Because it was such a diversion from where NOFX had been. And you guys really haven't even tried to revisit something like that. It was just this one-off wonderful project.
Yeah. Partly we were like, I don't want to do that again. Well, it was, you know, it's kind of like a collection of themes, song themes that were arranged around and around some revisiting and some like, okay, that part's done and we'll just go on to the next part. And we had to write a set list for the studio so we could actually like remember, all right, that part, that's the next part. And I forget we had names, you know, whatever, like Chunky Riff or what, something, Chunky Riff 3. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that was, I don't know, just a way of figuring out how we were going to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty ambitious just to get into that, though. I mean, just this time, instead of a set of songs, instead of 10 or 12 songs, we're going to be doing this one big masterwork.
Right, right. That's almost like, yeah, 10 or 12 different songs in a way, mm-hmm. just sort of connected.
Okay.
Yeah, which is fun.
Is now that you're doing this this victory lap, and you can see the end of the NoFX, at least the touring of NoFX, are there any regrets, any things that you didn't do with NoFX you wish you did or you hope happened between now and the last show in Los Angeles?
You know, yes and no. You know, real. I like to think everything just happened the way it happened. You know, of course, I wish we had done maybe a little more. You know, when there were certain things that happened that I wish we could have. When some of that stuff went down, I don't really like to talk too much about it. That the Vegas comments that we got, like, somehow it felt quite orchestrated that we were suddenly in a lot of media for having said something that's like something we say all the time anyway. And then it seemed like in the time that was after, shortly after that, aside from other things, we were sort of canceled from quite a few shows for a while in the US. And I think that there might have been some sort of like, somebody was doing something where they were, I think that there was some profiting going on by somebody else, by us getting kicked off some shows where tickets were already sold and then we weren't on the shows anymore. But we didn't, so the person who was benefiting from those shows still happening, but not having to pay us anymore, but still had the benefit of the advertising that had been done and the ticket sales that had been done prior to that. So anyway, that's like as ambiguous of a way that I can say mm-hmm. it, but I almost wish we had just like gone and done the shows anyway and just shown up. I don't know if we would have actually been refused if we had just been there.
Yeah.
But some of that, you know, we had such a good time, and then in between tours, I think we all needed like time off and time to recuperate and time to just decompress in between a lot of the travels, and yet maybe we could have used some of that time a little better, but that's pretty standard life regret stuff. You know, wish I made better use of my time kind of thing.
And I know you don't want to talk about it, but that the Vegas event, did that play into the decision of sunsetting the touring of the band?
No, not at all. You know, we'd said from, I don't know, way early on, obviously not way early on, I because we were just going early on, like not thinking about when we stopped. But at some point we started talking about, you know, if ever we feel that it's time to call it quits, we should have a proper plan and make it like a farewell tour and try and go to see as much of the world as we can, mm-hmm. you know, to say goodbye. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, so here we are. That's what we're doing. You know, it is, you know, we get to go out on a high note. You know, I think we've been playing the best we've ever played. The set lists have been better. We never would have thought of playing 2 hours. Mm-hmm. That would have never occurred to us, I don't think. That's for like, you know, the Foo Fighters and whatnot. But that's pretty rad. To just put in a solid, like everything we've got for every show for the final lap. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing.
You're going out on your terms, and that's.
Yeah. It's not over yet.
Yeah.
Know? We've got the last year still to go. So I was like, oh boy, are we going to, the wheels going to fall off or not? You know, let's just go hard, floor it and go, you know?
Well, for the people in the cities, you know, I can speak for myself. It's like, okay, well, here it is. It's a Saturday or Sunday. What's it going to be? You know, that's going to be kind of the end of the road for people in the city. For you guys, you still have the rest of the year. But for fans
right.
who are used to seeing NoFX or having the opportunity to see NoFX every year, every other year. It's like, well, now's the time. It's a celebratory moment.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, poor Brisbane, you know, their big celebratory night to say goodbye to us will be a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Oh.
You know, sorry guys. They got to go to work the next day or school or whatever they
can do. Chuck it's a sickie. That's all right. They're
I like that. Chuck a sickie.
So you've done some work, not only in side work with Melvinator, but also as a life coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious as to whether, you know, your work, your training as a life coach has prepared you for this moment when you're making such a big life change yourself.
Yeah, in a way it has. Yeah. It was great. The training that I did, yeah, there's a lot of introspection in just the training part. Like how would I feel if I, as the trainer, was talking to me, asking these questions, you know, so like I can ask those questions now. I have those in my bag of tools of, you know, what's going to happen next? How am I going to keep some momentum? How am I going to keep doing what I love? So yes, that is. And it is interesting. I love helping people with this coaching that I've been doing, and a lot of talking about, yeah, real life things, you know, like career changes, just getting momentum, trying to figure out what is, you know, hindering somebody from making some changes that they want to make, you know. But that's the funny thing about it, about coaching, is it's much easier to coach somebody else than coach yourself, because mm-hmm. there's that emotional aspect to a lot of things that's just not there when you're helping somebody else. You know, I'm not going to have that emotional connection as to why Joe can't seem to make this thing happen that he wants to make. Mm-hmm. You know, and yet when I'm doing it for myself and there's something going on that's keeping me stuck, you know, I know how to ask and I know the questions, but it's harder to like come up with the answers, I guess, because it's emotional and the emotions are attached. It's hard to like think outside the emotions.
As you guys are doing this victory lap, are you doing anything different? I mean, knowing that this is your last hurrah as the cabal that you've been traveling the world these last few decades, is anything different this time around?
I'm not really doing anything different. I'm still putting the same effort. I've always been, you know, every show I do warm-ups for the guitar playing, for the singing. I warm up my body before the shows. But what is different is I am getting a little introspective while I'm on stage. I kind of have been not stopping, but I have been sort of just like taking a deeper look at what I'm doing, at what's going on, sort of from inside somewhere, and just go like, you know, snapshot of what's happening right now. Look at this. There's this crowd. Look at this. You know, there's my guys on stage. There's Mike right there and Smelly, and like Hefe's right there. And just like, there's another level now of appreciation, I think, because of it being so near the end. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that's different. And that's the huge thing.
Well, that's beautiful.
Like a newfound appreciation.
That's beautiful. You can do things. That. Because
it is. It is. Yeah. It sort of came by accident, maybe, right? I think it was Barcelona. We were doing the end of the decline, and the crowd with their mouths, you know, with their voices, started singing the horn line that goes at the end. And
I started crying. I just was like, whoa. And like deep sobs. And I was like, wow. And then the introspection followed, like, holy cow, this is really affecting me. Oh, that's because this is the last time we'll ever do this in Barcelona. And how beautiful is this, you know, 10,000 people or whatever, you know, singing, not even a vocal part. They're singing the horn part. It was so that broke open the new level of introspection there, that deeper, like somewhere inside of me is looking out, appreciating what everything else inside of me is doing.
And are the rest of the band having those similar emotional realizations?
Yeah, here and there. I've seen it too. I think even actually that exact moment, I looked over and Mike was crying. Smelly was crying. It's like, oh, wow. It's not just me, you know? And that's been at some of the other shows too. Yeah. Looked over and seen Smelly wiping his eyes or whatever.
It's such a great moment to share with these guys who have essentially been your brothers, probably closer than family all these years.
Yeah. We know each other so well. We've done so much together. We've been through so much together. You know, we know what each other likes to eat, how much each other likes to sleep. You know, like I know at any time of day in Germany, I can guess where Smelly would be in if we were, you know, whatever, in Berlin. You know, I know he's probably out walking around looking for lunch, you know, or like Mike, you know. And he's probably just getting up right now because it's about that time of day. Like, just like any member of your family, I guess.
You know each other's rhythms.
Know each other's rhythms. I know each other's, what each other would appreciate, thinks funny, you know, almost like what each other would think about this or that. We share a similar sense of humor about a lot of things, or I know what the other person wouldn't think is funny, you know, oh, he wouldn't like that at all, you know, that kind of thing.
So you guys have just been this, you know, a group of great friends traveling the world for many decades. You know each other so well. Once that ends, once the touring ends, any thoughts about how you could fill that void or how you guys will continue to talk and collaborate?
Yeah, I don't really know. It'll be an adjustment in a way, and I mean that because usually we'll come home from a trip. We're used to coming home from trips and like being, you know, maybe I'm not going to, I won't talk to that guy for a month or two because I'll see him when we start the next thing. Yeah. So there's that. And we're also busy in our things, in our worlds and with our families. And there's the balance of those two. So I'm not sure, but I'm going to guess that there'll probably be a little phase of sort of, there might be a phase of like, we wouldn't speak to each other for a few months or more. And then there'll be probably a period of like, hey, you know, texting, hey, where are you right now? What are you doing? You know, are you, let's see, it's 10 a.m. Are you at your Starbucks or, you know, are you at your local coffee cafe or like, and I follow my guys on their socials too. So I always see Smelly when he's making a new surfboard and Mike's got a new music project or something. Hefe's acting. So I'll be watching them as they continue going, check in, texting, yeah. I'll text, you know, hey man, I saw that. That was really cool post or whatever he did. So yeah.
Have you thought about the legacy of NOFX, like how you want the band to be remembered?
We'll be back after these messages.
Well, hey there, record collectors. There's a new service available that specializes in record cleaning, restoring, sticker removal, and professional grading.
VMGVinyl.com.
VMG Vinyl can help you make the most of your collectible records. From professional cleaning of records and sleeves,
removing old price tags and store stickers,
dry cleaning and rejuvenation of old shrink wrap to make it look like new, even providing you a professional play-tested third-party grade with either removable grading or encasing in plastic. You have a wide range of choices at VMGVinyl.com.
Buying a highly collectible record and you want it checked out by an expert?
VMG Vinyl can do that too. Head over there now and see what VMGVinyl.com can do for you and your collection. That's VMGVinyl.com, the one-stop shop for professional third-party grading, cleaning, and record restoration. That's VMGVinyl.com. Oh, and hey, record nerds, don't forget to clean your records with the very best and safest record cleaner, the Groove Washer. Make your records look and sound their very best and store them with confidence using the new Groove Washer Groove Guard record sleeves. You gotta try this out. It makes a huge difference to the quality of your vinyl experience. Ask for the Groove Washer by name at your local record store and accept no substitutes. Or head over to groovewasher.com and use discount code VINYLGUIDE. 10.
All hail the Groove Washer.
That's groovewasher.com, discount code VINYLGUIDE10.
Now we return to the program, already in progress.
No Limits.
Have you thought about the legacy of NoFX? Like, how you want the band to be remembered?
I don't know. I think I thought about that, really. Or how I want... Just how we are, I guess. I think that there's, in a general sort of way, I think most people seem to, well, the people that I meet seem to have a perception of us that I think is pretty accurate to me, you know? We're like this, you know, for want of a better word, we're an indie band that's always like had our own sort of thing, our own style. We've done our own shows. We've done our own festivals. You know, we're like this sort of our own force of nature. And that's what I see. That's what I believe. And so I think it's pretty accurate. There's people out there who also have different opinions of us, but I know that there's haters for sure. And there's dismissers and whatever. That's always there. But I think for the most part, I think people kind of get us for who we are, and it's pretty amazing, actually.
It's incredibly admirable. You guys have, you know, who doesn't want to travel the world with some of their best friends and make art and have new adventures and do things on their own terms? You know, you guys haven't really been buckling under a major label or taking shit from people who you didn't want to, you know, who you had to deal with. You've done it on your own terms. It's incredibly unique, the career that you guys have had, and long too.
Yeah. Yeah. And a long time.
Yeah. All right.
I know. So, yeah, well, yeah.
So look, man, I don't want to end on a bummer, big emotional thing here. So
I know. Like, yeah. It is, though. It's a farewell tour, you know. It's kind of like, how do you get around it, you know? But
yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to find a way to keep making music, you know, my Melvinator project, and maybe not only that one. I've got an idea for, not an idea exactly, but on my list of things to do, you know, is to have another hardcore band. You know, that's maybe not quite like, not like NoFX, but not unlike NoFX, but just, you know, me screaming and playing guitar, and with maybe some other guys. So that might happen somewhere along the way. Exploring my own writing has been really fun, and I just keep learning as I go. Like, oh, I could do this if I wanted to, you know, write something about this and. Or use this kind of phrasing, because it's all, I'm starting like a new career. So I'm really enjoying that, and I'm going to keep going. It's just,
there's a lot of stuff to do in the world, and I've got a family, I've got four kids, you know, and my wife and I are always just doing something fun together. We've got artwork that we're doing together, and we do meditation together and breath work, and we're exploring other, like, what's it called? I was just learning about this. It's like a kind of a somatic, maybe healing, which seems really funny. So it's basically with the body, using your body to like process emotions, but it's like a lot of, there's some like shaking and bouncing, and, you know, yoga does some of that too, but this is specifically like shaking and bouncing. And that's what I do on stage, you know, that's what I do with a guitar. It's like, wow, I've actually been training for this for 40 years, you know, like, you got a beat and I'm just like jumping up and down and head banging or shaking my whole body. It's like, this is like a kind of a somatic healing technique. So my wife and I do some fun stuff like that. And I want to just find a way of spreading that to people, because I always think helping people and spreading like healing techniques is something I want to do, you know, just everyone. There's a lot of, like, we're human beings, you know, we hurt, we've all got shit we're dealing with, you know? So like sharing ways that we found to deal with the shit in healthy ways is like an amazing thing that we can do as human beings, as social creatures. So I'd like to like try and just sort of, I don't know, be a part of that social structure of us helping each other getting through shit.
I used to always think, you know, when I was much younger, man, I'd always think life over 50 was just a series of hassles and hurt and a big pain in the ass. Now I've just crested that a couple years ago, and I'm actually quite excited about how the whole thing starts to wrap up. I got more time than I think, you know, and I'm excited about trying new things and challenging myself and stuff that I probably wouldn't have done. And I guess I'm thankful that I've got a bit of an open mind to allow me to see those opportunities.
That's great.
It sounds like you're kind of on that path as well. It's like, it's kind of exciting. One door is kind of closing, but so many other things are opening up.
Yeah, it's important to just be that kind of open, I think. If you can, you know, ask yourself questions that are more like opening questions rather than closing questions. You know, like, well, what could I do? Or what if I tried? You know, not like, what if I failed? You know, like, no, what if I tried? You know, I mean, yeah. I know that's a bit of a generalization, but yeah, that's kind of it. You know, look for the positives. What could be good about that? You know, plan for the best, or what is it? Hope for the best.
Yeah.
Plan for the worst or something. Just have a backup plan, you know? And I love, I've been practicing, well, for a very long time, but I've been a little more focused on it lately, is different types of just breath work, breathing techniques. And I find myself doing that when I've got like a really busy day and I'm running around town, you know, like, oh, can I get this all done? It's already, you know, 3 o'clock or whatever. And I'm in the car and stop at a red light, and I just do some of my breathing and just kind of like calm down a little, heart rate goes down a little, brain can like focus a little bit. Okay, keep going. You know, so, that's great. That's maybe something the breath work I've been working on for a long time, but I'm seeing it as a tool, just like, oh, I got to remember to eat lunch, you know, like, oh, I got to remember to just let's do a little bit of breathing. I've got a minute right now or two.
Yeah.
Do it now. You know?
Okay. You know, a lot of what our show is about is vinyl records and collecting and some of the rare records. Are you a vinyl collector? Do you have a record collection?
No, not really, no. Mm-hmm. In the early days, I just listened to mixtapes from friends because I couldn't afford records back then. I appreciate it, but it's not my thing. It's
not a world thing. You understand or get into.
No, I just don't. Yeah, I don't have. I don't feel the urge. I don't have that kind of like. I mean, I feel drawn to a lot of things, but that's not one of them.
As a collector, as a record collector, there's a lot of interesting NoFX releases. Things that are just 25 of this color or 100 of another color, and some of them, I think they're called the family collections, like ones that the band gets. So I'm assuming when something comes out. You, even though you don't collect records, you have a stash or a box of all your NoFX releases, yeah?
A huge, I've got like shelves of, of vinyl, of NoFX vinyl. Yeah. And what's been fun lately, because the vinyl's been, you know, going for years. I mean, a long time, of course, not just since we started, because it was vinyl before it was even CDs, but, we also, since we started the farewell tour, there's been artwork submitted and different artists creating posters for the shows. So we've got like runs of those, and they're different for every show because there's plenty of like amazing artists in the world, of course, and a lot of them are NoFX fans and they want to submit stuff. So we've been making these posters, and our merch guy's like organizing all that, which sounds mind-boggling to keep it all straight. But you know, every so often he'll send us like, "Here was the latest run of posters for those five shows this past summer, or whatever." And so I've got a huge collection of posters now as well, and they're like nicely printed posters. So that's like, I don't know how I'm going to like find room on a wall. That would be cool though to have all of.
Do you collect anything? Do you have a collection of anything?
I don't even collect guitars really, actually. And I've been playing guitar for, you know, getting close to 50 years now. I mean, I have a small collection of guitars, but I'm not that into that. I guess, is it then? I wonder. I hadn't really thought about it. I don't know that I have anything that I collect. Like maybe.
How about even, so no gear? Cause I know you're doing Melvinator. So, you know,
right.
You've got, is that all electronic? Is that all within a laptop? All software?
Not all, but yeah, I play guitar, live guitar, and I sing. Mm-hmm. My vocals are live, but the backing tracks, yeah, I've created in my laptop. Mm-hmm. And then I've got them coming out, and I've got them separated for sound quality. So my front of house mixer can actually mix to the room. Like the kick is separate from the snare and the bass comes out separately. And then my guitar is live and separate. And then, you know, my vocals are live and separate. And then I've got some backing tracks of vocals too, where I've, you know, it's music that I've written. I wrote the album Rise of the Melvinator. I wrote, you know, and rearranged some NoFX songs, made them EDM genre, like mashed up with punk and my vocals and my guitar playing. And then I just take out the vocals and the guitar from the recorded versions and play and sing over that. And then I've got all seven songs from the Rise of the Melvinator. And then I've got six other songs that are just brand new written original material of mine. And I've put that together into an hour long set. Well, it's 50 minutes, but yeah. And then I play guitar and sing along to it. And it's been fun. It's been really fun. I did shows in Europe in May, were my first shows. My first show was in London, which was rad and nerve-wracking. And I played with the band, the Co-Defendants. Mm-hmm. So we did like a Bottles to the Ground kind of showcase tour of a bit of Western Europe. And it was really funny because those guys, well, we had the Get Dead guys open the show, and then it's sort of the same guys do the Co-Defendants. And there's like five of them on stage. And then I go up there by myself with my laptop and I'm like, press play and like, and then sing and play guitar and just like, you know, see how it's going. I'm trying to figure it out, you know, and I'm not, I mean, it's a little bit nerve wracking because I am the only person up there and I'm relying a bit on the technology, but I'm also kind of like figuring it out as I go. You know, it's going to evolve over time. I think I'll probably start playing with like maybe a live drummer, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. I'm not sure I'm ready, you know, to play with anybody other than Smelly. You know, Smelly's been the only drummer I've played with for nearly 40 years, except for the punk rock karaoke experience. And that was a couple different drummers, but.
So this is where I'm at. You're thinking about post NoFX touring, what you'll end up doing. So it sounds like Melvinator is what you're doubling down on for that.
Yeah, I'm like laying the groundwork right now. It's something I've wanted to do since forever. I started playing with like samplers and drum machines in like the 90s, and it was really hard and a steep learning curve to understand all that technology of that time. And then at some point the laptops and your digital audio workstations became sophisticated enough where you could just have a whole drum beat and a bass line on your computer and all you had to do was play guitar to it. Then I started just playing with that and just having fun and figuring out what the sound was going to be. And I kept just working on that. And a lot of riffs that came into NoFX songs came out of that kind of playing around. Sell Out and I can't remember the other. There's some other riffs that came into NoFX songs. And then, you know, I was just like, I just got to start figuring out what my process is for my own writing. You know, what? How do I want to do this? Oh, I got to write lyrics. I got to write a melody line. You know, I can't just hand a riff to somebody anymore, you know, and let them do their magic. I got to make the magic happen now. And so, you know, I've been figuring it out and I've been learning.
So for NoFX songs, you would start with a riff and you'd probably create a riff, but then everyone else would jump in with their own bits. Mike would write the lyrics. It was very collaborative. Was that the approach?
There was a few songs went that way, but a lot of songs, I mean, more like 85, 90% of NoFX music was Mike had written an idea of chords and a melody and a, you know, verse chorus or something, you know, cause he never really just kept to verse chorus style writing, but you know, different parts. And then we'd all play it together. And then sometimes you'd go like, oh, I like that rhythm you're playing, do that, you know, and then we'd keep going. But a lot of writing happened right in the studio with NoFX. Like we're recording it. And Mike's like, hold on, I got an idea. And I hand him the guitar, you know, and he's like, and he starts playing some crazy like strumming pattern. And I'm like, oh, that's killer. That sounds killer. Keep doing that, you know, and he'll do that. He'll record the guitars, you know, just and then he'll change the chords right there while we're recording. We're like, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing now? And he's like, oh, I think this sounds better with the melody line I have in mind. I'm like, we haven't even really heard the melody line. So, okay, just keep going, buddy. You know, yeah, but that's where his magic happens, you know. He needs to, like, hear it, you know, for him to, like, go like, okay, this is working now. This is working better.
Well, Eric, so happy we could spend a little bit of extra time together here today. I think most people are aware NoFX is having their final shows in Australia this January, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, weekdays, weekends, whatever you got to do, get out there and see them because this is the victory lap, and these shows are going to be very, very special. Also, check out, look for Melvinator Sideshows. There's one at the Crowbar in Sydney, I think on Saturday night. And the
DJ set.
Rise of the Melvinator is available on vinyl out there, and it is killer. If you haven't heard Eric's side project, Melvinator, check it out. It's very different than NoFX, but it is hard, and it is really very cool. I'm very excited to see where you take that. Again,
thanks,
Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show.
There's a show in Melbourne at the at the Tote. That's where I'm doing an actual Melvinator Live where I'm playing these songs. The others are DJ sets, but yeah, the Melvinator Live shows at the Tote in Melbourne.
The Tote's a great venue.
Yeah, I'm excited. I was just talking to them today. I'm excited for that. Thank you so much for having me, Nate. It's been great. Really appreciate you giving me a chance to just be myself here, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too, mate. And I'll see you in a couple of days.
Thanks, mate.
All right, there we go. Mr. Eric Melvin of NoFX. By the way, there is an extended version of this interview available for Patreon supporters, an extra 15 minutes of Eric and I having a chit chat about all sorts of different things. Go up to patreon.com/vinylguide if you want to hear it and help support the show. And of course, don't forget NoFX, Australia, other parts of the world. Go see them. They're an absolute treasure of a band, and you'll kick yourself if you miss this one. I promise you. And that's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please share these episodes on social media. Share them on Facebook or put them on X or whatever. Leave us a positive review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. 5 out of 5 stars is always nice. You can say something nice. That's great. And we'll be back shortly with a brand new episode. So until we talk next time, get out there and enjoy yourselves, people. Cheers.